This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to the next episode of Chewing the Cud. Sorry about the delay the last few weeks. There's lots of going on. Work commitments. I have the longest call in the history known to man. And just things come up, so apologies about no podcast. And we had the international break as well. So anyway, full crew today. We have Richie, Chris and Collie. Good afternoon, boys.
Hi, lads.
All good. Good to get back into it. Today we're going to talk, obviously, about the United game at the weekend, but we're going to start off and just get all our thoughts on this deduction and the process going on at the moment. Start off, Ulrich, to be honest, everything's like a fucking episode of EastEnders at the moment. It's just, it's one thing after another, but this, just we can look at it. Geez, we could do 10 podcasts and this is ridiculous, but just to get your thoughts on the initial, what's the 10 points deduction?
Yeah, I suppose so much has happened kind of in the interim since it's been announced, and you're hearing so much and everything, but I suppose just to go back and on top of some of the stuff that's come out, it's just totally disproportionate. I think it, first of all, put the hands up. Everton are not innocent in this by any means at all. And we've been the creators of our own downfall to get ourselves into this mess. But I think when you look at it in the perspective that it's in, and with punishments that have been put out, that it is just totally idiotic. You know, there is lots of things that are going on within it. You take, go back 2 years to basically clubs trying to break away and you get small fines. And look, I think if you are trying to do things with the books, but I think the Premier League have a lot to answer for in the way that the rules have changed, and that's what I'm saying, that things are coming out kind of all the time, and I think that there's a lot more to come out, but it just doesn't seem right. You know, I think we all kind of, obviously from an Everton side, and people are kind of weighing in on the other side as well, saying that it's not, you know, obviously just trying to put the boot in, I think. But I think realistically, when you pair it back and you say, right, that you could get 9 points for administration and you get 10 points for spending 19 and a half million over the course of 3 years, it just doesn't add up. And I suppose that's the galling thing about it. I think for me, it's disappointing that we were kind of going into it. And I suppose I was kind of hopeful that you say, right, this is going to be thrown out, because the club were defiant, saying, you know, we've been open here. We've done everything we can. And we were saying we hadn't breached. And then they turned and they said, right, we had, and we have done this. And you can say, right, that you can hold your hands up to a small bit. But ultimately, the punishment does not fit the crime in my eyes. And that's what's, you know, you're just kind of wondering, where does it go from here? And it's I suppose it's everything that's happened since then with OR, Burnley, Leicester, everyone that has played football looking to sue. But I mean, if that's the case, you know, on the back of it, it's, basically, it's going to be played out in the courtroom forevermore, you know, on the back of this. When City basically have their thing at the end of next season, I think it's been announced today, it's just going to be, everyone is just going to be suing, suing, suing. And it's just going to be solicitors playing with our emotions, our feelings, and we're going to be on the back end of it. And it's just losing, it's just pulling the joy away from it more and more and more is what it's doing. But I think Martin Samuel wrote an article the weekend, and I think he put the nail on the head. If anybody hasn't read it, to go out and read it. And I think that kind of sums up the perspective of the feelings on it. But yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking.
Yeah, I think that from the very, very start, Chris, everyone included, we know we've done wrong. But like Richie said, like six teams tried to derailed the league and got a 22 million fine between six of them, which is six of the richest clubs in the league, is just fucking nonsense. But to hit a club for 10 points, and like Rich said, 19 and a half million over 3 years, which is nothing when you see the likes of Chelsea spending 890 million in two windows. It's just totally wrong. And maybe they're trying to make an example of us before they hit City and Chelsea.
It's like driving 53 in a 50 zone and getting 10 penalty points.
Yeah, straight off the bat.
I just think there's been, you know, how they haven't. There's so many, when you, as Rich said, a lot more has come out now, and kind of the, you know, everything has been read and what went on with the case and that. And the more and more that comes out, it just shows more and more flaws, in my opinion, in the case itself, and how mitigating factors have just been ignored. You know, like, look, the fans ourselves, we've been protesting against the board. We've known it's a shit show, you know. And like, go back to the saying, you can't punish the fans. Fans of, you know, saying that with the, like you said, the breakaway league and Super League, you can't punish the fans. So let's give a rich owner a fine, you know, a slap on the wrist, a $3 million, $3.5 million fine each or whatever, which there's no evidence that's been paid. But in this instance, oh, well, we can't fine the Everton owner because he has loads of money. Let's punish the team and the fans and the players for something that, again, was no sporting advantage. You know, you take into account, again, the war. That's not an everyday thing that they just made it look like, well, the club should be prepared for that. You know what I mean? We lost a huge amount of sponsorship there on the stadium. Inflation went up. You know, everything, you know, that was the UK government's justification for, you know, the cost of living increase and day-to-day expenses increase and all the war in Ukraine. But, yeah, that can't be accounted for with interest rates on the stadium. Don't. A true stadium built, that was meant to be a separate entity from FFP, but all of a sudden, halfway through it, the Premier League decided, oh no, that's now included. You know what I mean? When your sustainability and so they changed the goalpost there, which is ridiculous. Carry on, you know. But again, so many, there's just so. I think Everton have to have a case on the appeal there, you know. It's a shocker. Like, I was, as you know, I went off the Erling game for the Holland game in Amsterdam, and we got the bus from Brussels 2.5 hours. It's grand, let's get the head down, bit of kip here, phone blink, beep, Everton Docktown. Ah, no,
just let me out here.
Head was fried, it was. But you know, like you said about administration, 9 points for administration, which administration is probably the worst thing you can have. You think about the amount of players, jobs, the community it affects, the domino effect has on the club hitting administration. I mean, we went, like you said, 19.5 million over a 3-year period. And that's justified worse than administration. See, there's no set rules. So it's just been made up as it's gone along. You know, you go back to even the case Leicester had when they breached it. They came with a 3.5 million settlement out of court. Just one rule for one rule for another. And again, I hope Everton have the best lawyers on it, and they're using all of this previous cases as ammunition to take with them and say, okay, well, how can you do this in this case? This is the exact same instance, and you're hitting us with 10 points. You know, just, I don't buy this attitude. Everton will be all right anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's beyond the point. We may well stay up, but there's a difference between finishing 17th and we probably could have finished 11th or 12th. Mm-hmm. You're talking 10, 12 million in prize money there for finishing higher up in the league, which is going to improve your balance sheets. It's going to possibly enable you to recruit a bit better. You know, it's just so many different factors there. Like, it's shocking, really. Yeah, so, you know, this appeal has to be done by the end of the season, which, again, like you said, it's just a huge can of worms. I think by the Premier League coming down hard here and using as an example, they shot themselves in the foot. I think it proves even more so that the league needs to be regulated, you know, by an independent regulator. Clubs are going to be suing left, right and centre. You have the Man City thing, the Chelsea thing, and it's just going to go on and on. And it's going to ruin the game, and they've just opened up a huge can of worms. Surely to God, they'll backtrack on it. Again, Spurs had it in 1994. I think they got hit with 12 points. Eventually got reduced. And then I think it got just suspended and overturned completely and turned into a fine. So, you know, Everton, as I said, have to go back to all these cases and say, what's different? What's different here, you know? So, look, hopefully it'll at least be suspended. If there's another breach, fair enough. You can understand it, you know? But that's just an outrageous penalty.
Yeah, I think that's the thing across the board, Collie. Apart from the rats like Leeds and Burnley and whoever, which we'll get into in a second. But it's been generally across the board saying, listen, this is just too much. It's just over the top. especially because Everton came forward and said themselves, listen, we've done wrong here. We have a look. And they went along with the league. Any transfer they had to ask permission for. And it just seems that during this appeals process, or sorry, during this investigation process, they changed the posts two or three times. Like Chris said, you can include the interest. Then they said they can't. But one of the most galling things I found, again, if it's true, like you're reading some crap online, but that they said to the commission, we recommend a 12-point deduction. So how can ask someone independent in inverted commas, to look at something, but then say, listen, if you find them guilty, this is what we want you to do. That's wrong as well.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to go over the three of you have spoken already in relation to this, and every point that you guys have made has been bang on. It's an absolutely horrible, undeserved deduction. You know, there was a flag or poster on the side of the brick pub. Where there's money, there's corruption. I tend to agree with that. Richard Masterson has an awful lot to answer for. And obviously, where he's come from, I don't think it's helped Everton. I think if Richard Scudamore was still in the position, we probably wouldn't have this mess that we're in at the moment. But the precedent has been set now. And unless the Premier League do go back, and I'm going to be honest with you, Joe, I do think we'll receive some points deduction, but I think we'll get some points back. I don't think it'll be suspended. I think the Premier League has to be seeing that they're able to manage the league themselves, and obviously at the moment they just can't. I think it's shocking and to see and to have confirmed stories now in relation to senior journalists in the UK being told not to query or question managers, players across the teams in the Premier League in relation to the 10-point deduction. So who's running this? You know, it almost feels like it's a type of mafia situation, Joe. That maybe sound a bit, you know, mad to say, but I just think it's horrible. I do worry for us as a club. I genuinely hope that Everton have employed the best people possible that's out there to represent us in this appeal. One clink of kind of hope for me is that the review or the appeal board won't be the same board that decided on the 10-point.
Well, they can't.
They have
to change it because it's like correcting their own homework if they ask the same people to do it again.
So I wasn't aware of that until I read it this morning. Alan Moyers tweeted that this morning and kind of confirmed that. So for me, that's a bit of a hope anyway. We need to get points back. I tend to agree with Chris. Anyway, look, we'll speak about the playing side shortly, but it's just horrible, Joe. I'm kind of fed up hearing about everything day in, day out. But it just goes to show we need to get Mashiri out of this club. Because for a chap that is an accountant that made his money through accountancy, how we ended up here, Joe, is absolutely shocking. But look, we are where we are, and I'd love to put all this behind us and just continue on. But I just don't think we're near there as of yet.
No, it's just like I said before, it's just like EastEnders, there's just something different every week. I just want a few months of calmness. So just concentrate on football. It's just horrific. And I agree with Collie. I think it's only going to get worse. excuse me. I do think on the appeal, worst case scenario, they have, we get 5 points, which would be bad enough as it is, but I don't think... I think if we get 10 points, it's going to be a lot. It'll be just be really a struggle for the whole season. Again, I don't know how long. I think it has to be done before the end of the season or as soon as possible, because it just puts the whole league in it. Like, you don't know what you're doing. Teams are out of the relegation zone. They're not in the relegation zone. It's just ridiculous. So I think the sooner the better this happens. Just get it done, get it sorted. Whether it reverts to a transfer ban and points deduction, I just don't know. I don't think the Premier League know, to be honest.
Go ahead.
No, I think all this thing is, like Holly said, there's been for years calls for totally independent regulators to look at the Premier League. And I think this is the Premier League just trying to say, listen, that's okay. We can do it ourselves, which they clearly can't, because it's just, it's the punishment way is much further than the scene, if you know what I mean. Like 19.5 million over 3 years is in Premier League terms is absolutely nothing. So to hit a club 10 points for that, again, if this is the bar they're setting, what can Man City be playing Bognor Regis now in a couple of seasons? So they have to either draw back on what they've done, or if they keep this, City and Chelsea had to be absolutely demolished. If these cases are found to be true, what they've done. Like we I think it was one case which we were brought up for. So Man City 115. Man City 115. Chelsea, I think, are six. They're looking into other clubs now. I think they're going back to 2008 now. I think I seen yesterday the Jermaine Defoe transfer. So I don't think it's a whole kind of warmth. They're just trying to blow up the whole league now with all this, because they literally have to look at everything, every single club, every deal. So it go on for years and years and years and years. And it'll turn into it won't be football anymore. It'll be decided by people in courts or commissions, and it'll just, like I said, it's just turning me off now. It's just.
But Joe, we stand to be the guinea pigs again. It was the same with the ass. Remember,
retrospective ban.
No other team has gotten that. They should genuinely look at the Dutch or the Spanish model in relation to the finances of the teams within their leagues. You have a real-time accountancy person who gets the books in, a club submits a proposal to either extend the contract of a player or buy a player in. This body or person examines the books and basically says, well, you can't afford or to afford that, you need to get rid of X and Y. And unless you have that sort of system in, and it is in the lower leagues in England, you know, the kind of way that the football league body tells clubs, well, you can't afford this, you can't afford that, you can't afford this, or to afford that. It needs to change, Joe. But I just fear for Everton from a point of view is they will hold tight. They will try and bury this. And if it wasn't for the likes of you guys and all the fans and the 1878 and all the other fan groups getting together, the Premier League wants to bury this, Joe. Not talk about it, not have Sky talk about it. They buried the interview with that politician the other day. They don't want this being mentioned at all, because they feel the less it's mentioned, well, the fans won't shut up about this, Joe.
No.
I'm not just talking about the fans, Joe, that like you guys, you go every week or every home game. I'm talking about the likes of me who I can't get over. International fans throughout the world. You know, 40,000 people or 39,000 people at Goodison were representing the wider fan base. Mm-hmm. And we're all together on this, you know, the kind of, because it's an absolute disgrace. And you're talking about it needs to be done. This will hang over us and hang over the league until it is done. I think it needs to be done in the first quarter, certainly in the first quarter next year. Because if it isn't, other teams then, if we were to get some points back, which would possibly drop, say, another team hypothetically into the relegation, and they went on to be relegated, you're leading to more and more cases, you know. The Premier League need to start basically sorting themselves out, because it's going to ruin football and the football that we all love.
Yeah, I think it's going down that road. It's It's been like that for a while, because I feel personally, I don't feel like a fan anymore. I feel like a customer. They don't give a shit about, like, they know there's going to be seats filled. So again, I'm not lashing ever. I just feel across the league, they don't care about fans anymore, because they know that if I'm not in my seat, someone else is going to be in my seat. And I think they're leaning more towards the TV markets and people who aren't in the stadium. So no, it's just.
Sorry, Joe, just one kind of final point, because I'd say we move on from it. You know, there was all this commotion that you can't punish the fans kind of previously for the breakaway stuff and things like that. And then it comes out that they said in the report, oh, we didn't want to, or we couldn't, there was no point in issuing a fine because you have a wealthy owner. So basically what we'll do is we'll take 10 points off you and we'll punish the fans again. And it's just this hype, or, you know, total different strokes, like, for different folks. And it said, right, you're going to get this, but we won't give it to you. And then they fined him 22 million because what? Their owners having the pot to piss in between them. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, and so much of it just doesn't make sense. And the more you kind of dig into it, you're just kind of, it's head scratching to know where they've come up with this and how it all plays out. And just to touch on one other thing there that Collie mentioned about Sky, I think it's very important kind of point as well, that basically they're their mouthpiece, you know, the Premier League's mouthpiece, and they cannot have the Premier League, or Sky can't afford to lose the Premier League, basically, because that's their cash cow. That's why people subscribe to Sky Sports. Everything else is kind of a bonus on it. So they will do whatever they're told, basically, to make sure that this is buried. I think you're 100% right on it. And it's disgusting, you know, that they're going to these lengths to say, right, we won't question managers. We won't publish interviews. We won't do what, basically, we won't bring it to light like they would with any other scandal, basically, because it's shown their sugar daddies in bad light, and basically that's what it's doing.
Yeah, it's just getting like a big brother situation. It's just horrible, just horrible. Again, I just think this is only a ripple. It's just going to go on and go on and go on. Anyway, listen, we'll talk about that another day, I'm sure. Let's get back to football. Reason why we're here, the United game. Following on, Chris, from the again, we won't go back as far as Palace, but that was amazing. I know you were there, just an amazing, just a great game of football. But I was very, very hopeful going to the United game. And then, obviously, like we mentioned earlier, with the protests and the holding up the cars and the march and all, and the place was buzzing, and the atmosphere was absolutely like rocking. But then, like 2.5 minutes in, probably one of the best goals I've seen at Goodison, really, Garnacho, and it was right in front of me. It was just, sometimes you have to hold your hand up and say, listen, lads, there's not much you can do about that. Just what an absolute worldie.
It was a sickener, and as you know, you used the right analogy there to start. It was like just popping the balloon. It just sucked all the life out of the place. And you know, throughout the first half, you know, we did turn the screw and we had a few chances, and the, you know, the crowd were on side and it was still fairly hostile, but the second goal was killed. I know we didn't do a pre-match pod, but like, I'm always fairly on the fence, but I was worried because from a fan perspective, like, we would have liked to approach that game. You know, United don't like playing out from the back, you know, Nana can be got at, you know, and he's prone to a mistake, so from a fan perspective, you want to harness that energy, the passion, the hostility, and get on the front foot and get into them and press them high and get in their face, get into tackles and stuff. Like, that's, you know, the way we would have liked to see. But that's not how Sean Dyche sets up, you know. So my fear was that we'd do what we do in pretty much every game. We'd just sit in, be compact, and we'd try and play as your way team, which is kind of counterproductive, because if you're letting United have all the possession, that's going to bring the atmosphere down in itself. And you know what I mean? Kind of, it's shy to watch, you know? So it was kind of weary about what way it would go. And, you know, we are like anti-climax FC. So you're kind of always in the back of your mind to expect the worst thing to happen. And honestly, I think that was the worst thing that could have happened. And like you said, you hold your hands up. He could do that another 99 times and it could be over the bar, or we'd miss the ball, or it was just typical of us. And to be honest, I thought this cross should have been stopped. Ashley Young was miles off, and that's a flaw in our setup. No matter who we're playing, we allow for that diagonal ball, and we just can't get across quick enough. And when you leave players one-on-one with the fullback, especially a 50-year-old like Ashley Young, you know, that's things like that can happen. And even though United, you know, they've got grinded out results without playing massively well, they have a lot more individuals in their team that can just do something out of the blue and do nothing else for the whole game. And that's how they get through a lot of games, and that's how they have for seasons, you know. They can blow hot and cold, but on the day they have individuals that have quality, you know. And yeah, it was a real disappointing. But I thought we did settle down after, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and it was kind of a feel of the Fulham home game after that, where we had chance after chance. I mean, we really could have had 3 or 4 goals. How we didn't score, and if we had a scored, that brings the crowd up again, and then we get back on the front foot and the confidence. We probably would have beaten them, you know, but just the soft penalty, I think, was the killer. And you know, that suits United down to the ground, and they could just sit in and pick us off, let us have the ball, which we know we struggle at home, especially to break teams down and, you know, create a whole lot when teams don't give us a whole lot of space. So the first goal, goes without saying, was always going to be important, but just unfortunately it was one of them. I don't think we played, you know, too bad. I thought, like, they never stopped trying. Even at 3-0, we had a couple of chances. You know, I think Mikulenko hit the post and that. And we still, the mentality was good. We didn't just drop the heads of such. We kept trying and we kept trying and we huffed and puffed. They might have been comfortable. But, you know, it wasn't like a calamity, like, say, the Newcastle game at the end of last season when we just dropped the heads and they steamrolled us. You know, we're not mad on stats. You like to watch football with your pair of eyes and you call what you see, but you know, the statistics do say we had created an awful lot. And I mean, they did 4 shots on target and 3 goals. So there was positives to take from it, although just disappointing with, obviously, kind of we had intentions of it being one of those great Goodison nights and being able to get out of the drop zone and look up again. And kind of the way some other results went put a bit of a damper on the feel, you know. So it is a bit of a sucker punch, and my fear now would be with the fixtures we have that we'll go one of those runs where we kind of lose a good few games consistently, and all of a sudden you're looking at 7 or 8 point deficit between you and 17th, and that's when every game is a pressure game, and you're in a pressure cooker again, and you get a suspension here and there, you get an injury here and there, and you can kind of fall back into the way we were last season in terms of the nervousness, the anxiety, the stress, the fan base would be, you know, worried. And that's my biggest fear now. But there's definitely enough there, you know, in reality, over the next, 23, 24 games, we should be able to outpoint Luton over the next 23, 24 games without getting points back from the deduction, you know. That would help massively, but I don't think we can rely on that. But just before, you know, pass you on, before the game, like, his touchdown was unbelievable. A great show of, you know, unity and mobilising from the fan base. 1878, so unbelievable work in a short space of time. And, you know, I just hope that this carries on now. Sky and that probably thought, oh yeah, one game, we'll cut it out and we won't show this or that, and that'll be the end of it. That and about Evertonians and Scousers in general, they don't forget, you know. They keep coming back and coming back until they get their justice, you know. So I've no doubt the fans, there's definitely plans for all the games going forward. Hopefully keep the pressure up, keep it in the spotlight, keep talking about it. But it was amazing, you know, even the walk up from the brick and that, to see thousands and thousands united for our football club, regardless, you know. It's amazing, you know, it's unbelievable to see. You wouldn't see that from probably any other club in the league, you know, things like that going on. And just everyone united in the stadium with the protest cars and the banners and the flags and the hostility pre-game. And, you know, it's just an amazing show of union from the fan base. And let's hope that will, you know, even if results aren't where they are, that we'll all stay on the same page. We'll all stay behind the team and the manager, regardless of what we think about certain personnel or the manager long term. We just really have to stick together now. It's going to be a sticky, you know, couple of months. But I think we have shown enough, especially away from home, to show we can grind our results, and the mentality is a lot better, you know.
Yeah, I think, I don't think this is a once-off. I think it's going to be similar to what we said earlier off the pitch. I think this is going to continue. It just will. Just the goal itself, Colly, obviously it was a worry, but it kind of it made us come out. Like, we had to, we couldn't do what we'd done the last few weeks and just give them the ball, sit back, let them have, like the Brighton game, let them have 80% possession. So we kind of switched the tables then, because we had them penned in for, especially the majority of the first half. And we should have went down at least level, at least.
I think we should have gone in a goal up, Joe, to be honest, a goal or make it up. We can't miss chances like that, Joe, against any Premiership team, unfortunately. Chris has already mentioned, I think, what, you know, they had four on target and they scored three goals. I possibly think the occasion got to one or two players on the pitch. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think McNeil has been great over the last few weeks. And again,
he looked very poor.
I thought Harrison, again, slightly better than McNeil, but again, poor in his time. As I thought Garner was poor. You know, I thought Garner actually played really, really well. I thought Harry Maguire dominated DCL up front. I know he's been getting a lot of stick off the United fans, but I thought he did a great game against us. There was unfortunately for me one or two players that were just under par. And once that, obviously the first goal went in, things changed. But we done enough, Joe, in the first half to certainly get back even. And then unfortunately Young gives away another penalty. And again, and that's the criticism of Dyche. I've mentioned it on another podcast, Joe. I think his in-game management is poor. Young is on a yellow card. He could have gone for the penalty. It could have easily been a second yellow and he's gone. I don't see the, and again, this is a topic that we could do 10 podcasts on, but he just wants to stick with his initial 11. And he was the same in Burnley, I get that. But when you have Seamus Coleman, experienced Roy Foley, and Patterson on the bench as well, who last time he played against West Ham, I thought he was one of the best players on the pitch. And then Young comes in. Look, this isn't going to be a Young. I'm not. He made a mistake, but it was a stupid fucking mistake to make, Joe. You know, the kind of way. Whether that's his age, I don't know, but I just don't think Young should have been on the pitch at that stage to even make that mistake, because even in the first half there was elements that you could see that he was on the verge of committing another foul to get a second yellow and he would have been off. I just don't get that part. I think we missed Onana massively. Onana for me now has become one of our main players, and we miss him an awful lot against United. As I say, didn't think that the front three were unfortunately good. I do agree with you, Joe. I think McNeil looks extremely tired. Harrison again, bit off. Mikulenko's doing it for us. He got a hand to the chap. The two centre backs, all done okay. But look, Martial pops up with his annual goal of the year against Everton at Goodison Park. So, you know, we probably should have put a bet on that ourselves. But it's just, if we hadn't gotten a 10-point deduction, Joe, I think we would have just said, look, it was one of them days. You know, the kind of way. They could be still playing today and they still wouldn't fucking score. You know, the kind of way. And I think that's just the way we have to, as fans, look at it. But I tend to agree with Chris. You know, we go on a run now and fans' heads go and pressure them piles on the team. And that's where my fear is, I have to say.
Yeah, I think it's got something that fell in the airport, Rich. And we said it before on here that it's two different teams. We just have a totally different mentality at home to away. I said it a few times that we should have the same plan. Obviously, if it doesn't work, you have to change around, but the same plan for home and away. But it's not like we've only 4 points at home all season, so there's something not right at home, either in the heads or the approach to games, or it's just, I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, it's really difficult. But then you look at the games in isolation. You look at Fulham, should have won it. You look at Wolves, should have won it. Look at Luton. I don't know, we were brutal, probably still should have got something out of it. I thought we were not unlucky. You know, I think it was United done a job on us. You know, from an away perspective, it was, you know, if it was, as you say, really good away performance, you get in, you get the goals at the right time and just kill the atmosphere, you know. But first half, we were really good. We get one goal there, place erupts, you know, and I think you kick on and you may kind of take control of the game a little bit. But it's frustrating because you're saying, Jesus, what do we got to do to get points on the board here? You know, you're doing everything bar getting points, but we should have an awful lot more. There's only so much you can put down to being bad luck and, you know, but I mean, doing all the right things. You look at the numbers kind of around all these games that we haven't got anything out of, and it's baffling, like how we haven't come away with anything, you know, to have losses from those five. So... Arsenal is the exception where we didn't deserve anything out of it. But those other four, I think we should have or could have got something. Maybe not so much on Sunday, but the other three definitely. And you say you've 24 shots at goal. You say, Jesus, what more can you do when you can't put the ball in the net? But yeah, I think it was just the timing of the goals, you know, to concede so early and then kind of you rally up a bit and you need to get one and then they come out and kind of score 10 minutes into the second half. It really just kills it. From that, then it's game over, you know. So you're kind of chasing it and, you know, to be fair, as Chris said, kept going. But, you know, United just kind of kept us at arm's length, really, like, and we're never in too much danger. But how do you change it? I don't know. You know, I think when you look at the numbers and say, right, you're creating this amount of chances and everything, like, it's just a case of putting the ball in the net, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, we just need to... It's kind of a groundhog day situation. We just need to start taking our chances. Really, really do. And like similar, we're doing away. Look at Crystal Palace, like three great goals. But we just can't seem to do it at home. And I don't know what it is, whether it's instructions, I don't know, bad luck. And there's no pressure from the fans because we're totally behind the team. So I just don't get it. It's baffling, to be honest. Okay, listen, lads, we have to move on. We'll just do quick predictions for another tough away game, Forest. Rich, how are you?
Yeah, look, I think our away form has been really good. I think Forest at the minute are really, really patchy, apart from a win that they managed to get against Villa. Like, you know, they've been on a dismal run. They do score goals, but I think we'll get something there. I'm going to go 2-1 Everton.
2-1 Everton. Okie dokie. Chris?
Do you know what, Joe? I just look at it and I can just see 2-0 for Forest. It just has that look to it for me. I think we're struggling to keep clean sheets and, you know, just talk. Calvert-Lewin might not be fit and, you know, you don't know where the goals may come from. So, although they're struggling, it's a tough place to go. I was down there last year and they're fucking loud they are. They make a good bit of racket, you know. They get well behind their players and... It's a tough place to go, so I can kind of see us probably falling short on this one, unfortunately. So I'll have to go for a 2-0 home win.
2-0 Forest. All right, Cal?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris. 2-0 Forest.
2-0. Yeah. I'm going to go with Rich. 2-1 Everton. I just think we're a totally different team away from home. Don't know why. Maybe should hypnotise them all when they're home, and they're playing away. So, all right, lads. Sorry about that. Short and sweet, right, today. Short, sweet and sour, whichever way you want to look. Right, cheers, lads. Talk to us next week.
See you, boys.
Thanks, lads. All the best.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.